We're going to be in Luke 7 today, at least as our main passage. Luke 7, if you've looked at the outline, you know that we're going to be talking about honoring Jesus on this Mother's Day. And again, we want to say Happy Mother's Day. Would you bow with me? Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Help us always to honor you in all that we do. Help us that this part of our service will be an honor to you and to your Son. Bless us toward that end, that the name of Jesus would be glorified here in our homes, in our businesses, and throughout our world. Bless us toward that end, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can ask any preacher, perhaps, what the hardest sermon that they preach every year, and they'd probably say Mother's Day. And the second one would be Father's Day, probably. But, on a typical Mother's Day, we'll have sermons on celebrating mothers and celebrating motherhood, and that's a good thing, right? We'll talk about how blessed the mothers are and things like that. And another type of sermon, though, is like based upon Proverbs 31, the perfect woman, and I guess some women might feel down by that because it's pretty hard to live up to the perfect, right? Well, we're not going to do either one of those today. I've entitled this lesson, Honoring Jesus on Mother's Day. And so we want to steer clear of those typical type approaches to Mother's Day today. And I pray that this will be of good ministering to you ladies today. So let's turn to Luke chapter 7. In verses 36 through 39, it says, Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet, behind him weeping. Then she began to wash his feet and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him, or when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Now, actually, this lady was included in last week's sermon, wasn't she? Well, we're going to look at it from a different angle. We're going to look at a couple of other women also as we think about what Jesus would do and how he honors women in his lifetime. When God created woman, he created woman from the rib of man and to be of value to man. In fact, she was to be his helpmeet, meaning together mankind would be complete. In fact, Adam was so enamored when he saw her, he says, This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. He was excited, right? Well, it doesn't exactly say that, but there's a good possibility that was certainly involved in the picture in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. Unfortunately, with the passing of time, women were degraded. That drastically changed. By the time we get to the time of Moses, and then let's come up to the time of Jesus, what was it like for women in the ancient world? Well, basically, they were considered inferior. They were considered not to be intellectually or physically or emotionally as well as men, and therefore they were not allowed to speak in a court of law. In fact, they were considered property of the father or the husband, depending on the situation. Now, that's not a situation you ladies would like to be in, is it? To be like cattle? To be owned? It wouldn't be a thing that very many ladies would like today. If an unmarried woman wanted to go out of the house, she had to go ask her father, "Can I go to the store?" or some such thing. If a married woman wanted to go out of the house, she had to ask her husband. And when she went out, assuming she got approval, she had to be doubly veiled. That was the situation in the time of Jesus. That was the situation in the Roman world and basically the rest of the world. Now we want to look at some comments as we think about Luke 7, 36 through 39. Jesus had been invited to a Pharisee's house, a man named Simon. And this man, of course, he may have had some feelings of maybe I ought to check this man out. Or maybe he was just looking for a way to trap Jesus. We don't know. But he invited him to a meal. Now, we don't live in a society like that. I mean, we're happy we got shoes on our feet, right? We're happy we don't have to walk in the dirt on sandals. We're happy that we don't have dirty feet every time we enter a house. Well, that wasn't true in the first century. You walked in sandals on dirty roads, not nice sidewalks. And so the first thing that the homemaker did, the first thing that the man of the house had done, is to have a slave come in and wash everybody's feet. He didn't do that, not even for Jesus. Now, when you say they were sitting at the table, well, that's a little different because we actually sit in chairs, but they didn't. They laid on the floor on their elbow with a mat in front of them, and they all laid around it, so they got their feet sticking out in every direction. And there are a bunch of Pharisees there, and there are Jesus and his disciples. And in comes a woman that everybody knows is a sinner. What does that imply to you? Well, we generally assume it probably means she was a prostitute or she was an adulteress or some such thing so that everybody knew this is an ungodly woman. Well, she comes in uninvited and she goes around to the feet of Jesus. She doesn't do, as I mentioned last week, what she had planned. Instead, she probably got to thinking as she looked on these ungodly men, here is a holy man. And then she got to thinking, I'm just guessing. I'm an ungodly woman. Then she fell to her knees and began to cry. She had meant to take this ointment and put it on his feet and his head perhaps, so forth. But now she's crying, and her feet are getting wet. So she drops her hair down, and she begins to try to dry them, but the aroma fills the room. She can't get his feet dry, but she's honoring him the best way she knows how. And the men at the table, so to speak, the men are all looking, why is he letting this ungodly woman touch him? Well, there are several strikes against this woman, aren't there? Number one, strike one, she's a woman. Strike two, she's an ungodly woman. Strike three, she's worshiping Jesus, and all these Pharisees in that room, well, they don't like that. But let's continue reading in our text. We'll pick up at verse 40. And Jesus responded, the New King James says, answered. Not that Simon had said anything other than what he's thinking inside. Jesus answered his thoughts. And he said, Simon, I have something to say to you, or I have something to tell you. And Simon says, Teacher, say it or tell me. Jesus says there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, that's 500 days' labor. The other owed 50. And when he had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him more? And Simon thought a moment. He said, well, I suppose the one that owed him more. And Jesus said, you have judged rightly. Then he turned to the woman at his feet. The woman they all knew was a sinner. I mean, every man in that room knew it except Jesus, apparently, so they thought. He said, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. You should have had your servant clean our feet. That's what's normal. You didn't give me that, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, as was customary when people came in. They would kiss on the cheek, or probably both sides of the cheek. And she has not ceased to kiss my feet from the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Meaning, you Pharisees who think you don't need anything, you're the one that don't give much. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Now, that's a blasphemy to Pharisees. That's true blasphemy. And those who sat at the table with him began to say within themselves, or to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Or probably they were thinking more like, who is this guy who thinks he can forgive sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, when you look at how Jesus treated this sinful woman and how he treated women in general throughout his time on earth and throughout especially his ministry, it is easy to understand why it is both fitting and proper to honor Jesus on this Mother's Day. For one thing, number one, Jesus validates your worth, ladies. Mothers, I think every woman here would agree that one of the greatest things they need is validation, to be validated. You need that to know that your life matters. You need to know that your life has worth. Number two, look at how Jesus validated also, we won't read the verses on this one, but the Samaritan woman in John 4. Here was a woman who had a very rough life. She was a woman who had been married 5 times. Well, since women couldn't divorce, only men, she had been divorced by men 5 times. This time, though, she's just living with a guy. How did Jesus treat her? Obviously, he didn't approve of her lifestyle. I mean, we've gotten to the point in America that people call shacking up having a boyfriend or girlfriend. Something's wrong with the way we're wording things nowadays, right? Well, she was what we would call shacking up. And Jesus looked beneath all of that to the woman and her failed marriages and that empty soul and what she really needed. And he offered her something no man had ever offered her. He offered her what? Living water. Living water. Jesus validated this woman's worth, even though she were a sinner. Thirdly, let's look at John chapter 8. And again, I won't read the verses for time's sake, but this was a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. And her accusers, when they looked at her, they saw a worthless piece of trash. A person deserving death, and they were ready and willing to give her what she deserved in their minds. But Jesus said to this crowd of men, and they really didn't care about her one whit. They didn't even care really if she got away with it. What they cared about was trapping Jesus. So they had went into this room where this woman was involved in immorality and drug her out of the bed. Jesus knew all of this, and he turned to them and he said, whichever one of you has never committed a sin, you throw the first stone. One by one, they dropped their heads and they walked away. And finally, only Jesus and the woman was left. Now, this is a sinful woman. It doesn't mean he approved of her lifestyle. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? Is there no one here to accuse you? And she said, Lord, no one. And he said, then I don't condemn you either. Go your way and sin no more. They did recall on her to change her lifestyle, didn't he? He didn't approve of her lifestyle, but he still honored her in the way he dealt with the whole situation, didn't he? Jesus comforts people. And this is another way that he validates people. Jesus looks beyond our sins. In this case, we want to especially think of the ladies. He looks beyond whatever sins you may have had. All the past is gone, isn't it? All those unwise decisions of youth, well, they're gone. He looks beyond all of that. Your life matters to God. Your life is worth something to God. Jesus values you as a woman of God. You know, chances are most of you ladies, you get your identity to some degree from the different roles you play. To your husband, you're a wife. To your children, your mom or mother. To your grandkids, your grandma or meemaw or some similar phrase. To your siblings, your sister. To your nieces and nephews, your aunt. And you probably take some sense of value from all of those things. Jesus doesn't just value you for the roles you play, though. He values you as a person. You see, we sometimes forget that you moms had a life before you were a mom. We forget that little girl in pigtails or that little girl giggling with her friends that stayed over some night. Or that young lady who was a cheerleader for the basketball or football team, or maybe a basketball player. On and on the list could go. We forget those things, don't we? But Jesus doesn't forget what you were, nor your value. He is always concerned about those things. He's never forgotten the little girl you once were, nor the woman you have become. He remembers all of that. Now, as we could close, it's no wonder that a woman was first at the cradle of Jesus and a woman was first at the tomb of Jesus. He valued women. He valued all humans, of course, but we're talking about mothers today. You can search every verse of the Gospels. Read every parable, every lesson that he taught. You will not find Jesus cracking jokes about women. Good women, bad women, none of it. He doesn't crack jokes about women. They are of value to him. And if it were not for Jesus, your life, ladies, would be drastically different. It might still be like it was in the Roman days. If you doubt that, look at how women are treated in the Muslim world. Jesus valued women. God valued woman. He made her to complete man, not to be subjugated by others. If it were not for Jesus, I dare say there would be no Mother's Day. He was behind all of the teachings that changed the world, wasn't he? So let's not forget to really honor mothers today. Our mothers, other mothers. Our mother might be dead, but there are other mothers, and they all need to be valued, don't they? In a little bit here, we're going to offer an invitation. That invitation is available for anyone because Jesus treated everyone the same. Men, women, mothers, children. He showed appreciation for all of them, didn't he? And he sent the gospel to go out to all. We sing the song like that, don't we? Of one the Lord is one made the race, of one, you know it. Of one. We're all one. Jesus wants you in his kingdom. We honor him by honoring those that he made and those who serve him, especially today, the mothers who serve him. We honor him by doing the things he tells us to do, to believe in him, to repent of our sins, confess him as Lord, to be baptized for the remission of sins, to walk the path daily. We're going to offer an invitation. Maybe you're subject to it. If you are, we need you to come forward now, or if you need to respond in some other way, won't you come now as we stand and sing?